Well, we have to talk about the Adora trial. So this was just presented in the last couple of weeks at the ASCO meeting. Like all scientific meetings nowadays, is done virtually. So you got to see this video, this incredible presentation using targeted therapy in the adjuvant setting. So we're just going to briefly talk about that and the implications for it. And I'll start with you, Stephen. And also, I recommend that you check it out on the ASCO website. You go in there and watch the presentation and the discussion by Dr. Spiegel. Really informative. But can you talk a little bit, Stephen, about what the ADORE trial looked at?
Sure, Neil. So this was a study of adjuvant osimertinib, which is a third-generation EGFR kinase inhibitor. This is our preferred choice for stage 4 EGFR mutant lung cancer. This trial answers the question, is there any role for patients who've had surgery? And so it enrolled patients with stage 1B, stage 2, or stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer with an EGFR mutation limited to the classic deletion 19 or exon 21 L858R. Patients had to have a complete resection. They were allowed to have adjuvant chemotherapy, though it wasn't required. Afterwards, they were randomized 1-to-1 to receive osimertinib at the standard dose of 80 milligrams a day for 3 years or placebo. This study
I
was
guess
designed-
we should. I was just going to interject that, you know, the EGFR tumor mutation was discovered in 2000, I think around 2004. Mm-hmm. And the debate has been so going on now ever since then. Should you use this in the adjuvant setting? And people basically weren't doing it until they saw this trial. It was a very difficult situation, Ben, to have a patient with a targetable lesion, and yet you're not giving them targeted therapy. Everybody always thought it was going to be helpful. What was real helpful? Any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think we've learned, we started to build on the data. We've had other trials that have looked at this and unfortunately either haven't identified the right patient to give it to, or it's been a straight phase 2 trial with no comparator. And so, you know, I think there are many people in the field who felt strongly even before this data that TKI should be offered in the adjuvant setting and comparing lung cancer to other types of tumors like GISTs, where you offer adjuvant imatinib for cure. You know, why are we not offering adjuvant osimertinib or other TKIs in the EGFR setting for cure? And, you know, you're seeing the curves here. I mean, if you thought the coveted space in the Pacific trial looked, wide, this is a pretty significant benefit in disease-free survival, not overall survival, but disease-free survival, which we could certainly talk about. But we are seeing a benefit in terms of disease-free survival with the use of osimertinib versus placebo.
We were kidding the gynecologic oncologist. I think it was last week when we were doing a seminar on using PARP inhibitors, essentially in the adjuvant setting for ovarian cancer and BRCA germline patients. They had the world's record for hazard rate until this trial came along. And if you look at it, we've been talking about this as a theme and how to look at clinical research. If you look over on the right where it says HR, that's the hazard rate. So 0.17. So Ben, what that translates into, at any given point, there was an 83% fewer relapses in the group who got treated,
an 83%,
which is really an amazing
relapsing
result.
Yeah, we don't see, you know, to see it south of 0.2, 0.3, there were predictions. I know you've had some predictions with Corey Langer as to what this would show. We've talked about that. But I think this exceeded expectations and what the benefit, the magnitude of benefit as it relates to disease-free survival in terms of hazard ratio.
I guess another thing, Stephen, this plot here about how it played out based on stage, it looked like it was beneficial regardless of stage, but maybe not as much in the lower stage, but there were fewer patients there. Any thoughts about how this is going to play out? What about the patients who were lower risk? You know, in breast cancer, you give endocrine therapy down pretty low risk because the toxicity is so low. We'll talk about the toxicity here. What about in patients with lower risk for recurrence, Stephen?
Well, I think that when we look at that stage 1B setting, what we're taking away from there is the osimertinib arm seems to do better for DFS, but we're also learning that a lot of those patients are already cured. They're not falling off that curve after 2 years. And so surgery is curative for a lot of patients. Certainly, that's more likely in the earlier stages. If you look at that yellow line in stage 3, those are people where, you know, presumably we're trying to cure them, but we're not really doing a good job. And the vast majority of patients are relapsing within a year.
Yeah, that's really a good point. Also curious, and this, of course, it's a little early to look at survival. There actually are fewer deaths, but it's not statistically significant yet because it's too early right now, as always is the case. But of course, the issue in any adjuvant situation, Beth, is going to be what kind of tolerability issues are you going to run into? In the old days, which is, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, when we thought about using adjuvant erlotinib that had a lot more toxicity, the idea of using a couple years of this sounded was difficult. What about osimertinib, Beth? Any thoughts about what that's going to be like in this situation?
Yeah, you know, I think this particular group of patients is a little bit different than your average lung cancer patient. So these are EGFR mutated lung cancer patients. They are generally non-smokers, not all of them, but a lot of them. As opposed to, I can remember back when adjuvant chemotherapy, we first started using that really long time ago. And sometimes it was a tough sell for a lot of the lung cancer patients post-surgery. They were like, I'm still smoking and I'm not worried about it. This is a little bit of a different group. I think this group tends to be a little bit more motivated, a little bit more health conscious sometimes, and they are more likely. I think the drug is better tolerated, like you said, which is going to help. But I think the other thing too is this is a pill they have to take every day, and will they be compliant? Will they continue on with it? Especially those early stage patients who feel, you know, maybe I was cured from the start. I think we can take lessons from, you know, the breast data with, you know, the drugs like tamoxifen, where, you know, there was fatigue after years of taking it, the patients dropped off. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, they did randomized trial of 1 versus 2 years of tamoxifen, 2 versus 5, 5 versus 10. I don't know if we're ever going to do that again. But Elizabeth, Liz, it does bring up the issue of adherence. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of that issue occurs in patients taking oral anti-cancer medicines? I guess it depends on the situation. Any thoughts about what it's going to be like to use adjuvant osimertinib, Liz? What kinds of tolerability issues are going to come up and how you're going to assess adherence?
Well, I agree a lot with what Beth said about the patient population. In terms of adherence, I think if the use of osimertinib in adjuvant is explained well to the patient that right now the data is showing a benefit in progression-free survival and we don't even have the data yet at overall survival, they'll buy into that. I did have one patient, this was in the metastatic setting, EGFR positive on osimertinib, and he came to me and said, Liz, how long do I have to take this? And I just said, sir, how long does a diabetic take their hypoglycemic medications? I said, as long as it keeps working, as long as you can tolerate it, we'll keep you on it. At the point where it's either not working or the side effects are so great that you don't want to take it anymore, we'll talk about it and perhaps stop it. I think it's how it's presented to the patient, the data, the benefits, the toxicities, I think, are well handled. I think we have a very good understanding of how to handle the infamous TKI-induced rash or diarrhea, and I think patients will accept taking a medication for 3 years.
Any comment on this, Ben, in terms of tolerability issues that you expect to encounter as patients take adjuvant osimertinib? And also, just to bring up the fact that rarely you can see pneumonitis. We were talking about pneumonitis with checkpoint inhibitors. You can see this with TKIs. Yep. Any thoughts about kind of what it's going to be like to get people through adjuvant osimertinib, Ben?
Well, the drug overall is fairly clean. I mean, all of us who've used it in the advanced setting know that the drug is got very limited side effects. Yes, we see some rash and diarrhea. And yes, we've seen 2 or 3 cases of pneumonitis that are undoubtedly related to the osimertinib. My sense is that we're not going to have a lot of trouble getting patients through 3 years of osimertinib. We may have had a lot of trouble getting people through first-generation TKIs. If you look at that data, it may be a little bit more challenging in the adjuvant setting, but I don't foresee any major roadblocks. I see some nuances for some patients. But, you know, if you look at the tornado plots from the trial and the toxicities between placebo and osimertinib, I don't think we saw any new safety signals. And I would anticipate that if we do deliver this drug, we will be able to get patients through 3 years, with some exceptions for some of these patients.
So, Stephen, you know, oncologists usually, and it's part of their ethic, I think, is to follow the data, so to speak. That's why for so many years they have not used adjuvant EGFR TKIs, because they wanted to see that the data supported that. Now we're going to, I think, see targeted therapy in the adjuvant setting. We're already using in the metastatic setting. What about in the locally advanced setting, what we've been talking about here tonight in terms of durvalumab? There was a trial that looked at using targeted therapy up front before chemo radiation to try to shrink it down. Theoretically, you could certainly think about adjuvant therapy after the chemo radiation and durvalumab is all done, but we don't really have data. Do you see people actually taking that step, or you think we're going to have to wait for another trial?
That trial is ongoing. And so the LAURA trial is a study for patients with a stage 3 unresectable non-small cell lung cancer who would have otherwise been eligible for the PACIFIC study, but who have an EGFR mutation. Those patients are randomized to receive osimertinib or placebo. That actually goes on indefinitely. There's no stop point in that trial. That trial is still accruing. We won't have that answer for quite a while. And so there will be some who extrapolate from ADAURA. When we look at ADAURA, the data are very clear. As you've mentioned, those DFS curves are pretty impressive. What some people are waiting for is overall survival. When we look at some of the earlier trials of adjuvant TKIs, they showed a DFS benefit. But because these EGFR kinase inhibitors work so well at the time of relapse, many feel that you could wait until relapse instituted then and survival would be the same. And so we don't have those survival numbers yet. We won't for a while. However, the magnitude of benefit for DFS is undeniable. For that to be a positive trial, it needed to be 0.70. And as you mentioned, it was 0.17. And so when this is approved, I do think that some practitioners, some practices will extrapolate after chemo radiation. As you mentioned earlier, this is a setting where we were pretty conflicted about the use of durvalumab. We weren't sure what the benefit was for EGFR. Maybe we should be using osimertinib. We won't have that data for a while, though.
Yeah, so interesting to see that how trials affect clinical practice. Trying to predict them is always a challenge, but things are certainly happening in lung cancer, and they're happening in oncology in general. Thank you so much to the faculty for participating today. Thanks for the attendees.